Hello, and welcome to Water Talk, the short podcast where we talk about the latest and greatest in all things water resources. Today, we will be discussing the state and future of water resources in the western and central United States. As you may know, these regions of the United States have been water-stressed, and the United States Geological Survey, or USGS, has papers explaining the state of this stress from as early as 2005. Moving forward, these states are the fastest growing in the United States in terms of population, and climate change projections predict that these states will only begin to experience more frequent droughts and more arid climates as time moves on. In order to discuss this topic, I've invited a hydrologist or water expert from Syracuse University by the name of Laura Condon. Laura, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I would count myself as a computational hydrologist. So that means mostly I stay inside and work on computers versus like going out and measuring stream flow. But what I do is I work to build really large computer models that can simulate how water that falls on the ground, like through rain or snow, works its way through our rivers and underground to the water we actually use. And modeling, generally what we use this for is to make forecasts about things like flooding, or if we want to make long-term predictions about how much water is going to be available in different places.
We've always known that the western and central United States, west of the Mississippi River, are dry places, certainly more so than the East Coast. And as early as 2005, there's been papers diagnosing stresses on the fresh water and particularly fresh groundwater supply to communities in those areas. Would you mind giving a quick overview of the current state?
Sure.
Because 2005 was a while ago.
So groundwater is really important in places where we don't get enough precipitation. So we use groundwater really heavily, especially in places like the western U.S., because we don't necessarily get enough rain every year to support all of the crops that we're growing in these areas. And so groundwater has been basically built up over really, really long time periods, thousands of years, as we have water that's infiltrating into the ground, and we build up really big stores that we call aquifers that we can then pump and extract water to use. So the current state of things is that groundwater has been pumped relatively, as a whole, I would say unsustainably, because it's a resource, I mean, for a couple reasons. It's a resource that's not regulated the same way that surface water is regulated. So in the western U.S., there's a really clear system of water rights, of who can take water out of a stream, when and where. And it's also really obvious when we take too much water out of a stream because the stream disappears. And we can see stream flow, we can see damages to fish, things like that. In aquifers, groundwater storage, it's much harder to tell how much total storage we have and how much we might have left. And there's not the same legal system. Well, in different states, there are different legal systems, but these have generally come about later. For example, California only legislated the use of groundwater after this most recent drought. They were the last state in the West to do that. So people have generally been allowed to pump as much as they wanted. And this has led to long-term declines in groundwater storage across the continental US. So we've lost about 1,000 cubic kilometers of water from the subsurface over the last century. And so this has led to water table level decline. So that's basically how far you have to go underground until you find water. There are places where we're hundreds of meters below the ground that we're pumping water up to use it.
Okay, so you mentioned that it's very easy to see when people are using too much stream water, right? Because the stream will dry up.
Yeah.
Less easy to see with groundwater. Mm-hmm. You said that I think we've lost 1,000
cubic kilometers.
Is that in permanent groundwater storage?
So that's like, yeah, I mean, I guess you would call that permanent groundwater storage. So we've lost it, yeah, from the long-term storage. If you looked at what we had in 1900 and you look at what we have today, the best estimate is roughly that.
So to explain this process to our listeners that may not know, within an aquifer system, usually we're talking about porous media. So think about sand at a beach filled with water. When you're underground, water in these aquifers, these groundwater storage tanks, can actually push apart the surrounding media to artificially create more space. When you draw down water from these overpressured aquifers, you won't actually reduce the size of the rock, but you will reduce the volume of water because you're releasing pressure, which is why it's very tough to see when you're to see the effect of overpumping water onto some of these aquifers, because you may not see it immediately. Over time, you'll see what happens in California with the large drop in surface level in some areas due to overpumping, but can be relatively hard to figure out. And once you relieve that pressure, very difficult, if not impossible, to get it back there. So you've effectively mined water, which is why we say that we have so much water that we've lost. So potentially bleak outlook for United States groundwater resources for two-thirds of the continental United States.
Two-thirds of the continental U.S. that really do a lot of the irrigated agriculture.
Do a lot of the irrigated agriculture, and many of those states are the fastest growing in terms of population.
Yeah, really large urban populations.
Into the new century. So, obviously something needs to change here. Do you know of any technologies currently in use or in development that sort of help to mitigate these issues either with urban planning or agricultural irrigation?
Sure. So, there's technological fixes. I mean, ultimately though, it's like a bank account problem, right? So we can only use as much water as is available to us. So if we've been using water that took thousands of years to recharge into aquifers and we're just using it at too high of a rate, then it's not going to be sustainable. So one of the first answers, which I think a lot of people are starting to do now, is just to figure out, like, how quickly is water getting back into the aquifer? What's a sustainable rate that we can take water out of it so that we have water for future generations? So that's kind of like the first step, is, you know, admitting you have a problem and figuring out what sustainability should look like.
So figuring out how to not dip into the sort of proverbial savings account of the aquifer.
Yeah, so to make sure that you keep a healthy aquifer that's going to be there for, you know, generations to come. So I think there's a lot of not really technological advances, but more like legislative and planning advances that have happened, where people form I don't know the name of them now. There's a name for them in California, you could look it up, but basically like governing bodies for aquifers where they all come together and pump by the same rules. When you think about water in the subsurface, it's filling in all the pores in our porous media, right? If you had like a saturated groundwater. And as we start pumping out water, we're going to have air in that space instead. In some cases, you will have your media collapse. So that's what we call subsidence. And then you're not going to get water back into those pores. But in a lot of places, we do still have a lot of volume that's open pores that currently has air in it rather than water, where we could be storing water underground. So you can think about a lot of the storage that we've lost as actually being like an empty storage reservoir that we could be taking advantage of. So in places like California, and actually really across the West, where it's really, really difficult for us to build additional surface water storage. So an idea is that if we're expecting that we're going to get more high flows and flooding in the future, that what we should really do, rather than building bigger surface water reservoirs, is figure out how to get that water underground so that we can use it in the future and take advantage of the fact that we've depleted all this storage underground. So so that's what we call aquifer storage and recovery. And so the idea is you're putting the water into the subsurface and then pumping it back out.
We've seen in other countries, such as Saudi Arabia, that people are turning more and more often to desal. So desalination, which is the process of just removing the salt and sort of unsavory things from seawater so that we can turn it into drinking water, gets a lot of coverage on media as sort of a possible alternative to a possible way to build up freshwater drinking resources. Do you have any opinions on the technology? Is it
is it good enough to, say, supply the large cities of the West?
Mm. I think that desalination is part of the solution. The problem with desalination is that it's energy intensive and it's also expensive relative to what we're willing to pay for water for agriculture in the Western U.S.
Given that we see these rising numbers of, ordinary citizens becoming more informed, caring more mm-hmm. about groundwater resources out of necessity or just a genuine desire to mm-hmm. take better care of their natural resources, do you have any hope for responsible management of groundwater resources in the United States moving forward?
Yeah, I have a lot of hope. I think actually groundwater management has come a huge way just in the past even 20 years. I think the fact that California passed groundwater legislation to regulate how much people can pump from aquifers after the most recent drought, so we're talking in the last couple of years this has happened. I think that's a really big sign for the fact that people are realizing how important groundwater is, because it's a resource that we depend on, especially when we have like a drought. So surface water, when the stream dries up, then we pump more from the groundwater because it's there and we rely on it being there. So I think the fact that there's been so much discussion about it with California and that this legislation has been passed, in addition to like all the innovation that's happening with cities around the West, I think I'm hopeful.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time and your optimistic outlook.
Sure, anytime.
That's all the time we have for this episode of Water Talk. But just because the podcast is over doesn't mean you have to stop talking water. Continue the conversation in your daily life or in the comments section below. See y'all next time on Water Talk.